I was okay until that intro, but I don't know about that. But yeah, let's go for it. I'll try and shorten where I can. But yeah, praise God for amazing time so far, and He's working in each one's lives, and yeah, opening up things. So as Christopher said, maybe first of all, let me just say thank you to Christopher and the elders for giving me the opportunity to share. So we are in the third week of a three-part series on hospitality. And as he said, the first week was about what is hospitality. So I just want to reiterate or just go through three points quickly just to refresh you. So the first thing was that hospitality is always a kingdom value and a kingdom principle. It is right through the Bible. He shared about Abraham, and right through the Bible, it's a principle, and even into the New Testament. The second thing is, the gospel is actually hospitality. We quoted Ephesians 2 verse 13, which says, we were far away, but God brought us in, into His kingdom. He brought us near by the blood of Jesus. So that hospitality is the gospel. Matthew 25:40 also says that this must be done. Hospitality must be done to the least of these, not just those where you're going to get something back from or whatever the case is, to the least of these, His brothers, and that is the church, His people. And then also, hospitality is of eternal significance. Then last week, Christopher shared on why do we do hospitality. So the first point was, through hospitality, Jesus reveals Himself. So we looked at Abraham, we looked at the two Emmaus disciples, and when they opened their homes, Jesus revealed Himself to them. The second reason why we do it, He commands it. And He said He will punish the disobedient. We looked at the goats and the sheep that was separated, and that was based on hospitality. Then also 1 Peter 4 verse 9 says clearly, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And that's so cool for me, that the last two words, like a freebie. Just as you start like thinking of your excuses and why you can't do it and whatever the reason, He says, God says through Peter that wrote this, do it without grumbling. Just do it. And then the last reason why we do it is because God promises us a reward in this life and in the life to come. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. There again is a little freebie for you at the end. Just when you think, yes, I'm going to get my reward, it just reiterates again, if you did not give up. So keep on doing it. So that's the foundation that's been laid in the last 2 weeks. And if you weren't here, please go to the Josh Jane website and listen to the preachers. But tonight we want to go look at the how, at the practical nitty-gritty. So I'm not going to lay the foundations again. The first thing is, open hearts is equal to open homes. Or open hearts lead to open homes. So that's the first thing you need to look at, is your heart. Hospitality is not it's not based on the size of your house or the stock in your fridge or the amount of money you have. Hospitality is based on the condition of your heart. If your heart is open to people, then your house will also be open to people. So we're going to look at some practical handles for your heart, a few things of the heart, and then also some practical things of the home. I want to read Revelation 3 verse 20, very well-known scripture. It says, Jesus speaks, and He speaks to a church. I think it's Laodicea, one of the churches. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. Now, this scripture has been used in other contexts as well, but if you just look at the words there in the Bible, it refers to hospitality. It refers to Jesus wanting to come in and eat with you, share a meal with you. So this is what the things I'm speaking about is basically, it's welcoming Jesus in through people that you are welcoming in. So a few issues of the heart that might be a hampering or might be something that makes that you that you're not hospitable. So the first one is pride, and especially for us Afrikaners, trots. That's a huge thing that is in our lives, and we building our own little kingdom, and it's just me, and I don't want to allow anyone inside. Or pride of how my place looks. Oh, everything must be perfect. Like when you invite someone else, the whole house is up in arms for 3 weeks to get the house ready, and the children are running, and everything is happening because it must be perfect. And that's not what hospitality is. And that's also, what do you give to your family, to your children, if it's always this tense situation when people come over? You don't want that. You want to enjoy it and want to relax about it. Christopher shared last week what they did with their dirty dishes before they had a dishwasher. If you didn't hear it, go listen to the preach. But he said he's not sure why he shared it. And I think I do know why he shared it. It's for us to, again, to be comfortable, to show that hospitality is not entertaining. It's entertainment. It is not, doesn't have to be perfect. We can relax and enjoy it. Okay, so the second point, the second issue of the heart may be shame. You don't want others to see how you live. You don't want them to experience your cooking. You're not comfortable. Don't want them to experience your children. So I must say, with that one with the children, I don't have kids, but I think if that is a struggle for you, then that is exactly why you need people in your house to help you with that, to support you and to see you and help you with the children. But in terms of the cooking, I want to use my lovely wife as an example. We've been married this year for 10 years, eh? Come on. Good, thank you. So she would admit, when we got married and before that, that Nyah wasn't the greatest cook. She could feed herself, but she wasn't that great. My mom was amazing at making food, so I had quite high standards. Let's run to the end. You can see I'm not underfed, so don't worry. It's better. This story becomes better. But through her wanting people in the house, being hospitable, she taught herself and she learned, and we made mistakes and did it better and did it worse and whatever the case is. But now I think, like most of you that's eaten with us recently and had some of her meals, it's always interesting. It is always good. Whether it's broccoli and peanut butter or whatever the case is, there's always something interesting, and I love it. So you, by being hospitable and by inviting people, you can also, that things that you are unsure of, you can learn that. And we're family. We support one another in that. Then the next one, third point, is the idol of privacy. And that's a game that probably goes with pride. Just, this is my house. I don't want anybody in here. No one must see my place. And that's not biblical at all. We know everything we have is from God. Our home and what we can offer, what we have is from God. So we need to open it. And it's so cool to have Tanya here tonight. Tanya Buerta, just wave your hand quickly so that everyone can see. Cool. So we, Tanya and I, and Tanya Buerta and her husband, Jock, and Caleb later on as well, shared a house for 2 years, I think. 3 years. Three, it doesn't matter. But in that... It was amazing. I think it started off well. Tanya always loved the idea of communal living. For Jock and I, it was more like a business thing. We're like, how much will the rent be? Can we maybe not buy a house together? I know all you young guys are also thinking that. Can't we buy a house together and share the load or whatever? So we had all these ideas, and quickly the financial side of it went out of the way, and God actually worked in us through them. Through that time that we shared a house. And one of the things as well was, I think of my house would be perfect, which there was something of that in our lives. And we just learned with them and them being comfortable with us that everything doesn't need to be perfect. Everything doesn't need to. It's great if the dishes are done when you go to bed, but it's not a train smash if it's not done. That it's okay. You can clean it up later again. So, But that was an amazing time of God working in our lives, and I'm sure in them as well. Can I share something? We moved house with them twice. The second time, we moved house was on the same day that her baby Caleb was born. So if you, as two families, can go through that, you're okay. You can do that. Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, we won't share that one. But, yeah. Yeah. In the house, we'll share that. Yeah, so, off my notes here, I said I'm going to make it shorter. Another point, the fourth one, is past bad experiences. And that's, we've all had that, and not in only our hospitality. If you, first time you rode a bicycle and you fell and you never did it again, and with a lot of other things, you're gonna sit in your house and not do anything ever. So we learn from past bad experiences and we improve next time. It's been said, or you might hear sometimes, I keep inviting people, but no one else invites me back. And that's probably true. I won't say that's not true. But then the question is, do you do this? Do you invite people for yourself, or do you do this for Jesus and for them? What's your reason behind it? And then if no one invites you back, what do you do? Well, you just keep on inviting people. You keep on being hospitable, because that's what Jesus called us to do, not what we do for just for ourselves or for someone else. And the reward, like I said earlier, the reward is in heaven. Reward even later on in this life. But my reward is not in getting invited back by someone. My reward is from Jesus. And then the last issue of the heart we can look at is fear. Again, fear, safety of my children, safety of my possessions. If I'm hosting someone, will everything be safe? Will they take my things or not? We are in South Africa. But I want to say God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We can't live by fear. And I think for all of you that is still here in South Africa and still living, you know, we can't live by fear. Then otherwise, I don't think any one of us would have been left here. But we live out of obedience to God. So don't be foolish, but be obedient to God. When the word speaks and when he speaks to you, be obedient. Christopher said last week as well, like, people come in here, we have visitors, different people. We don't know who comes in. We don't know who God sends here. But we're welcoming them because they are here, and it's our calling to be hospitable and to welcome people in. God can do anything. So, yeah, a few weeks ago, a handbag was stolen, but still, God can, like, lives are more important to him than our physical possessions. So he can change. He can do something in people. We also shared a house with my friend Ron Els. He stayed with us a few years back for a while, or for a number of months. I don't know. Among other people, there was quite a few people we've shared a house with. But so Ron loves telling people about Jesus. And from that time and still, he loves sharing the gospel and telling people about Jesus. So one day, Ruan met Max. This is a true story. Ruan met Max, who was a drug addict, and he loved him. He brought him to church. He spent time with him, shared the gospel with him, just continued to pour love on him. And then I think it was a Friday afternoon, Ruan phoned me and said, Max needs accommodation for tonight. He's run into some trouble. He needs a place to stay. So I was first hesitant, but at the end I said, I asked if Max can sleep on our couch. While Ruan was also still staying there. And I said, okay, no, let's do it, but you take responsibility. Like, you know him and you watch for the things. We're not foolish. We don't tempt someone who you think you can struggle with taking expensive stuff or whatever the case is. Not that we have much of that in our house, but it's we won't let money lie around. Let's call it what it is. So that went well. I don't know if Ron slept well. I slept well that evening. I was okay. And the next, everything went well the next morning, except when Ron was out for quickly and he accused Ron of stealing his wallet, Max's wallet. And that didn't work out well, because when my wife heard that, she told him straight, like, you don't accuse people in this house of stealing anything. We are not thieves in this house. Ruan offered you accommodation, food, and whatever. Don't accuse people now of stealing. Well, a few minutes later, he found his wallet in his own car. And he didn't sleep over again at our house. But, there's a but. The story didn't end there. A few weeks later, he visited church again with Ruan. And God actually had an encounter with God. He repented. He changed his life. He committed his life to the Lord. That's that same morning, right after church, Ruan had the opportunity to baptize him. Praise God. He came into the family. He was outside and came into the family. I don't know where Max is today, but what I know is that act of love and hospitality that day made a huge impact on his life, and also led up to him encountering the Lord and committing his life to the Lord. So I'm not saying you guys need to take somebody from the street into a house that you don't know at all and don't know about anything. But like we said in the first week, you start by offering a cup of water. You start by offering something that you can, being hospitable to someone. We need to find a balance of to be hospitable within our ability and means, but also to stretch ourselves and be bold and sacrifice if it needs to be. But that balance we find in being obedient to the Lord, in listening to his voice and doing what he says. So as I said, the easy in business, we like to call it sometimes the low-hanging fruit, the easy stuff is invite somebody from church, invite the new, if there's new visitors, invite people. Every Sunday you have that opportunity to invite someone off the church. We're all hungry after church, and if I go for long, then you're going to be very hungry. But invite someone to your house after church. Inviting your neighbors. We had the privilege of inviting our neighbors 3 weeks ago, and Stefan and Monique and some others also joined in. Met them and just it wasn't to try and get them into the church or anything, just to meet them. And a week later, the lady called Tanya and asked about church and stuff, and I think they visited the morning congregation. And that was just by being hospitable and inviting them in. So that's the easy stuff. You don't have to go for the necessarily, you need to be obedient again, but you don't necessarily have to go for the most difficult situations or people. So quickly, a few issues of the house. Hospitality is expression of love, and we call to love one another. Go back to 1 Peter 4, verse 8 to 9. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show us hospitality to one another without grumbling. So issues of the house, that's our real practical things when we invite people. Communication. Communicate, if you invite someone for a meal, communicate what their dietary requirements is. Or if you listen to Elaine's testimony, maybe just pray for them. But before they come, ask them what they eat or what they cannot eat. If they need a lift, practical things. Ask people, make it also easy for them to come when you invite people in. Most of you guys know Jonas and Friederike, our German friends that was here for 6 months. So the day after they came here the first time, this Monday evening we went to play touchies. They were interested in rugby and joined us for touchies. And then after that, we invited them for a meal. We just said, well, come over for some salad and stuff. And we didn't do this one well. We didn't ask them the dietary requirements. But they were comfortable enough to tell us that they were vegetarians. But that was easy enough. We anyway made a salad, so we just split the chicken and the rest of the salad. But I feel that evening was the start of a friendship that I believe would go on for the rest of our lives. And I know now that any day now, if I go to Germany, they know people all over the country. They will quickly sort me out with accommodation or anything like that. So and that started with sharing a meal. If you're hosting people from overseas, like get a photo, like just know who you are looking for. If you need to go to the airport and pick someone up or something like that, know who's coming. That's like, that's a basic thing. WhatsApp and social media makes that very easy. Meals, when you share meals, talk about when they are there to eat together. If they want to contribute, allow them to do that as well. And when they say they're not going to eat or they whatever, don't be angry or disappointed when they don't eat with you. There's also a limited time, and there's other people they might get to or other people they meet. So be easy on that and comfortable with that. And I also want to, I think I got the story maybe a bit wrong, but I want to commend Lachelle that she offered this week to make meals for somebody else that is hosting people. So if you can't host yourself, then you can also offer to help other people that is hosting to make meals and share the load. So that's another way of helping. Bed, if people come over, and Christopher shared that, how he was blessed by the guys he visited in USA that offered their bed to him, and those guys that were there, they slept on the floor. And that what a huge impact that makes on his life. So when people come over, give them the best. Don't take your old mattress that's broken there from the bottom. You can sleep on that and then give them the comfortable bed. Language. So we, again, this amazing thing of 412, and we've got different nations and people of different languages and stuff. And it can be a barrier. But there's phone apps, there's things you can do. Use your hands if it's a struggle. And maybe make an effort beforehand to learn the language. Learn some of the basics. It's fun as well. And to say please and thank you, and food, coffee, yes, no, whatever the case is. And I think people will appreciate it if you take a little bit of effort at least to learn the basics and to be able to understand and communicate with them. Is that true, Pedro? They appreciate it. It's cool. Obrigado. I had to put that in. And then another thing, Wi-Fi. Just like, this is basics, guys. This is a normal thing. Wi-Fi, share, if you've got uncapped, share your password with the people you are hosting. And if you don't have uncapped, communicate that as well. Everybody doesn't know that South Africa is behind with internet and it's excessively expensive. So if you don't have, just share that with them as well. Again, communication. Be open. Use common sense when you are hosting someone. I want to finish off with a last story. Arnold is a guy that came to City Bowl congregation a few years back, 7, 8 years ago. He is from Zimbabwe. He lost his job and then didn't get a job here, struggled. And one of his friends, which probably is not a good friend, said, but let's go to that place where the church was. And then we can look there, we can steal cell phones or whatever the case is, steal money. I don't know what exactly their conversation was, but when people are socializing or when they go up for worship, there's maybe opportunities or whatever. But what happened, I don't know if it was the first week or later, he actually encountered God there in the meeting. God changed his life. He committed his life to the Lord. And the family welcomed him in. Everybody in the congregation welcomed him in. So they helped him to set up a little stall. He repairs shoes. So he can leather and shoes and soles and whatever, he repairs that. So they set up a little stall in Woodstock. He's still there today. Repairing shoes, and he's still in the congregation there in City Bowl. But that's, again, God can do anything. We can't look at someone and say, can't welcome him in, or there's no hope, or whatever the case is. God can do anything. So are we obedient? Do we trust him? And do we listen to him when we practice hospitality? I want to end up with Luke 10, 38 to 42. About Mary and Martha. It says, now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Well, that's it. There you go. That's hospitality. She started very well to welcome Jesus in. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted by much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And that's very important, that last part. It will not be taken away. It will not be taken away from her. So your money, possessions, house, material things can be taken away. But the time spent with the Lord, the time spent with people, them investing in your life, you investing in their lives, that can never be taken away. So don't get caught up with, like, stay in the kitchen and make food and all the other people are socializing or whatever because everything needs to be perfect. No, make sure you spend time with people. Rather, make an easier meal that you can prepare beforehand or tell people to bring stuff and make the meal together rather than, I'm just thinking back of also when we moved into our current house. I think within a year we realized that the setup doesn't work. There was a separate dining room and a separate kitchen. But what happened is we always scared in the kitchen up until the food is ready and then everybody moved out. So Tanya and I spoke, and what makes sense is just break that wall out and make it one room. Then we can be in the lounge, in the dining room and the kitchen at the same time and prepare food together and whatever case. So if you're renting, don't just do that. But look at ways that you can where you can spend time with people. That's the thing. It's no use you hiding in the kitchen when people is there. So make sure you spend time with people. I think that's it. I think this is not obviously a maybe theological or whatever. This is an activation word. So I think maybe to end off, can we all stand up? Maybe as that first step of activation.
I just want to share one quickly thing that I was thinking about. About hospitality, we are learning what is waiting us. Because in the eternal life, Jesus is going to host us in the eternal life. So hospitality is about, the Bible says that when you receive someone in your home, you are receiving him. So we are learning what is waiting us in the eternal life. So we have to have this expectation about receive the people in our home. Because we are receiving Jesus, and in the eternal life, he's going to receive us. We're not going to come back to the earth. We're going to stay with him in the eternal life, and he's going to host us. And another thing is, he said that our homes doesn't need to be perfect to receive someone. And it's the same with us. We doesn't have to be like perfect. You just have to receive the people, because if you receive someone, you're going to receive Jesus.
Thank you, Pedro. So the first thing is just as we are activating this, maybe if any of those things that I mentioned, that issues of the heart, if that is true for any one of you, maybe we can all just close our eyes and speak to God. But if you've allowed pride, shame, fear, privacy, desire for privacy, or past bad experience to hold you back from welcoming Jesus in, from welcoming his people in, then confess that to the Lord. Just tell the Lord that was what you did, and confess it before him, so that you don't have that thing that's pulling you back, that is closing your door to Jesus, ultimately. So just spend a minute or so, and just if there's, think about those stuff. If there's any of that pride, shame, fear, desire for privacy, past bad experience, or anything else that is holding you back from inviting people in. Maybe the thought that your place is too small, or that any other reason. Just confess it before the Lord. And then commit to him that we, from today, from even this evening, from tomorrow, from now, that you would, that we would open your house, that your house is not only yours, but it's His ultimately. And it's for the benefit of the kingdom, that all your possessions, all your money, anything that He has given you is for the benefit of His kingdom. And while everyone's eyes are still closed, I also want to give the opportunity, if you, we're speaking about hospitality and God that has welcomed us in to His family. We were strangers and far away, and He welcomed us in by the blood of Jesus. If you if you are not part of His kingdom, if you're not a child of God, if you never committed your life to the Lord Jesus, and you want to be part of His family, He's open, His arms is open, His door is open, He wants you to come in. He chose the word says in Ephesians 1 that He chose us before the foundations of the earth to adopt us into His family. That we are all lost and we all rebelled and sinned against God, but He chose us to pull us back to Him, bring us back to Him, and bring us into His family. So if that's you, and you want to commit to your life to the Lord, and change from being outside an orphan to being adopted and in His family, I'd love to pray with you, introduce you to Jesus, or if you've walked or stepped away, if you had a relationship with Jesus and you stepped away, I'd love to pray with you, and just welcome you and walk this journey with you of family. So if that's you, if you would be bold enough to just raise your hand. Everyone's eyes closed, I'm looking. But if that's you and you want to commit your life to the Lord, or if you've stepped back and away from Him and you want to come back to Him, then just want to pray with you. So if you would just raise your hand and we can see who we are praying for. Yeah, I know there was an opportunity earlier as well in the worship. And if you afterwards, I'm going to be here. If you want to pray, come pray with me. But I'm going to finish it off there. Sorry. Thank you, guys. Yeah, amazing evening in the Lord. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, God, that for what you have done here tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are here, that you are continuing. By your Spirit, are living in our lives, and we live our lives through your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that what happened tonight, the breakthrough that came, Lord Jesus, just a reigniting of prophetic words, the reigniting of callings that you have placed on people, Father, that we would walk that out, that we would live in that, Lord Jesus. And that we won't forget it, that we won't allow the lies of the enemy, Father, the lies of the flesh to nullify those words or to come become more bigger and more important than your truth in our lives, Lord Jesus, that we would live by your truth. And Father, I pray that our houses would be open, that our hearts would be open to welcome people in, Father, to welcome our fellow believers in, Lord Jesus, those also from other countries that stay over, Father, but also to welcome strangers in, because that is what you have done for us, Lord Jesus. You have taken us as strangers and you welcomed us in and drew us back to you, Father. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus, and we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ioan.